I had a brilliant idea. Well, I thought it was brilliant anyway, and that was to go around and visit some folks, keeping my 1.5 meters distance, obviously, and asking people, well, what is it that troubles you? And, you know, what is it that really, you know, you find most troubling or upsetting? And I thought, what a terrific opportunity to get people to really bare their souls. And I thought, what a wonderful reception I'd get as I went round to video people and ask them that question. But you can tell that I've canned that wonderful idea. I actually didn't do it, because I think it actually would be pretty hard to kind of go on record of saying what it is that troubles you. I know that if someone asked me that question, I'd probably be a little bit careful in how I would answer it, especially if it was someone that I kind of didn't always share my heart with. Simon and Garfunkel, back in the 70s, early 70s, wrote this very famous anthem, which you probably have all heard, Bridge Over Troubled Waters. And it's become a very meaningful kind of statement of friendship, of what we would really call fellowship, of the privilege of belonging together, and how in troubled times we're supported and we're given what we need from the companionship and from the love of other significant people in our life. And although that was about 50 plus years ago, it was really at the end of a decade of significant trouble, because there'd been the assassination of John F. Kennedy. It had also been the assassination of Martin Luther King. The Vietnam War had been going on since, I think, 1955. And that had been just a horrendous time. There had been the Cuban Missile Crisis. And so it was a time of trouble. And hence, I think, the song became really, really popular, because it was that knowing that I can lean on someone else, that someone else will be there for me, that just makes it easy to bear in troubled times. And now we have, I guess, the word unprecedented, that is just used probably over and over again, because we're facing troubled times now where we would now class it as unprecedented. And you know, to be loved through troubled times is something we really, really need. We need to be loved in normal times, and that love needs to be something that's strong enough to hold us in troubled times. I don't know whether it stands out to you, but the Bible doesn't pull any punches in its narrative about us facing trouble, Old Testament, New Testament. We don't see God glossing over or trying to get people to avoid trouble. In fact, trouble seems to be part of the equation. And it was at a house that Jesus was welcomed into. It was open to him. It was a situation where there was a level of friendship and closeness in a family that he would link in with. And you're probably familiar with these two sisters, Mary and Martha. And Jesus arrives at their place, and he's obviously talking, and Mary's sitting at Jesus' feet. And we see it here in just a few verses, five verses in Luke chapter 10. I'll read it to you. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, they came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, why don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. You know, five short verses, but quite a story, and a well-told story. And I'm not going to spend too much time on it, only to say there was trouble brewing in the kitchen. There was a storm brewing there, and there was one pretty upset older sister, I'm surmising, who thought Jesus would probably, you know, sort out what was fair, and get Mary to pull her weight. And Jesus addresses her in a kind and but in a direct manner, and he says, "Oh, Martha, Martha, you know, I'm understanding what's going on for you. And knowing this woman well enough really to speak the truth into her life, he just tells her that you are upset and you're worried, you're troubled, you're letting lots of things get to you. There's anxiety and there's, you know, your carefulness to make everything just right causes such a great deal of disquiet in your life." And that was robbing her of actually connecting and taking advantage of the very thing that Mary could see was just the most precious opportunities. And I think it's in the ordinary daily choices of our lives, the necessities, the priorities, that, you know, sometimes the waters get seriously troubled for us. And here in this place where the water's so beautifully calm, a little bit later on today, this is all going to be all chopped up with the wind, and it's going to be altogether different. And it has that's what happens in our lives so often. Your husband, your wife, you know, we expect something of that significant other person in our life, or our children, or of a friend, or even the pastor. And those expectations are not met. They've got different priorities. And we thought what they did wasn't wrong, what they said wasn't right. Something happened, it didn't meet our needs, it wasn't fair. It wasn't what we'd agreed on. And there could be 101 scenarios where we let our hearts be troubled. And I want to flick through now to John chapter 14. And these are also very well-known words that almost seems a bit unfair of Jesus to say this to his disciples, because they would be facing something massive in just a few short hours. And he says these words to them: "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Well, they were about to face death, the death of their friend, their master, their savior, their Lord. They were about to experience, one of them would betray him, another would deny him, the rest of them would run away. They'd be terribly afraid. They'd be outnumbered. Self-preservation would kick in. Cowardice, failure, inadequacy, confusion, hiding, we'll probably die too. And Jesus says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." It seems like a big ask. And hence the question that I put to you: what is it that troubles you? In the ordinariness of our daily lives, in the extraordinariness or the unprecedentedness of, COVID-19, we can easily find our hearts troubled. And, we can pull back. And instead of pulling back on the reins of worry and the inclination to be upset, we sometimes just pull back and allow our worries to run wild in our hearts. And probably don't realize that about 90% of the things that we worry about never happen. And sometimes I say, they don't happen because I've got a handle on it. I've already worried about it. I've got the bases covered. And, I've stressed out and I've planned and, I've prepared for all this. And so I've taken steps. Well, that's us trusting in ourselves. And I think, the slogan, "We'll get through this together," is more about us trusting in ourselves than it is about trusting in God. Because the key that Jesus gives us is right there in the last half of the verse. Sometimes with this part of the Bible, we actually run ahead through to verse 6 where Jesus says rightly, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And we think, well, that's really the climax of what he was saying here. Well, we might come back to verse 2 where it says, where Jesus says, "I'm going to prepare a place for you in my Father's house and many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." And we think about those two things as kind of the focal point. But I really think Jesus is actually saying to us, just be careful of what you let happen in your heart. Don't let your hearts be troubled. And, you know, instead of you letting yourself be disturbed and agitated by the serious circumstances, choose to be persuaded by my Father and myself that you will be okay in our faithful care. You know, you believe in God, you trust in God, you have faith in God, Jesus is saying to his disciples. You can believe, you can trust, you can have faith in me. You can be assured, you can be confident that we are good for this situation. Because you can believe in me, even in the face of trouble, that we've got you, that we care about you. I've been encouraged by brothers and sisters who, having faced difficulty in these last months, have just testified and said, you know, I felt so cared for. That's God in his faithfulness carrying us. It brings to mind a song that we will listen to. You can sing along if you'd like in just a little while. If he carried the weight of the world on his shoulders, I know, my brother, that he will carry you. And it was Jesus' half-brother, James. James, who I would say at an earlier time in his life, if we're reading through the Gospels carefully, it's this same James who was probably a bit annoyed about his famous older brother and probably suggested with his other brothers, if you want to make a big name for yourself, why don't you go to Jerusalem? And that's where all the big shots go and become famous. But James changed his tune. And James actually begins what the Holy Spirit inspires him to write in saying that he himself was a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. He just names it. He says, I actually trust in Jesus, my older half-brother. And he addresses us who are scattered throughout the nations, and he says this about trouble. He says, consider it pure joy. Now, I'm not good at this. He said, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, it's like welcoming a long-lost brother. That's really literally what this is saying. And instead of letting our hearts be troubled and us backing away and us being dismayed or disquieted or disturbed or agitated or upset about things that happen that are difficult, James is actually saying difficulty and trouble actually can cause things to happen in our lives that bring this absolutely outstanding result. And it's not a case of withdrawing and running away. It's actually a case of trusting God. And down in verse 5 of chapter 1 in the book of James, it says that if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. You know, we can go and we can say to the Lord, Lord, I don't know what to do. Lord, this situation is just too hard. I'm finding it too hard. I don't know what to do. But Lord, I trust you, and I would ask you to help me. If he carried the weight of the world on his shoulders, I know that he can carry you. Let's just let the words of this song lead us perhaps back to that place of trust, back to that place of knowing that it's okay. We can trust in someone who has the wisdom to guide us through. And his name is Jesus.